This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Thank you and good afternoon. Well, cover crops have been the topic of several conversations throughout the last year, and cover crop specialist from Marion, Illinois, John Pike, has some advice if you're considering using cover crops on your farm. John recently spoke at a meeting hosted by the Macoupin County Farm Bureau and the Macoupin County Soil and Water Conservation District, and we had a conversation about things that farmers need to consider when you're starting or managing a cover crop program.
There's a lot of information in the press. Anytime the farmers pick up an ag magazine these days, there's an article and usually several articles about various aspects of cover crops. It seems like a lot of information that comes out is slanted either all to the good or all to the bad. And I'd say that the reality of cover crops is somewhere in between. There's a lot of benefits that can come with the utilization of cover crops from a nutrient loss standpoint to help improve water quality by reducing erosion and scavenging leftover nitrogen, especially that might be left over after a corn crop. But also there are benefits that can be seen in the crop production realm. So it's just not something extra that we're doing for a nutrient loss standpoint. There are issues such as, basically controlling erosion is a good thing. We always want to do that. Anytime we can preserve the resource, that's going to be to the benefit of crop production. But if you take that a step farther and you look at the positives that can come about improving the soils, to add soil tilth to improve the soil health and just the biology in the soils, and we can impact problems with our soils, such as compaction in certain cases. Some cover crops in certain systems are more effective in many cases at improving the soil from a compacted standpoint than deep tillage and intensive tillage in some cases. But with that, it's a balancing act, and like I said, there's challenges along with the benefits. The key is adapting a system to your particular operation, your soils, your drainage, and your management practices that fits with your operation, and start small and go from there.
My question, you just mentioned start small, but advice to those farmers that are hearing this saying, I hear a lot of talk about cover crops, something I probably should be doing, but how the heck do I get started and consider all of these different things that go along with it? Advice for them on how to start that planning process.
I think the first step is to do your homework. And like I said, there's a lot of information that's in the ag press these days and has been for the last couple of years. But I think before a farmer would jump in to cover crops, they should do their homework. And from a local standpoint, I think a lot of the farmers that I deal with on a daily basis that have questions about cover crops, they're sort of suffering from an information overload sometimes, because there's so much information out there and sometimes it's in conflict. And I think some of this comes from the source of that information, because many of our large farm magazines that cover the entire Midwest or large regions, a lot of the information, while it's valid cover crop information with that particular article in mind, that particular environment and the conditions that article reports aren't always the same as what it is in that farmer's neighborhood or in a particular field. So that's something that they need to keep in mind, is the local information is the best. And I think that any time a farmer has the option to attend cover crop meetings like this, there's also throughout the course of the year, there are different on-farm field days, and any time that an opportunity arises to visit a farm that has cover crop systems that have been in place for many years, I would encourage folks to do that, even if you have to drive 50 or 100 miles, because to see the soil conditions and the crop production conditions and hear about the farmers' experiences with cover crops in that particular field and to see the changes to the soil that has come about from these things takes it a lot farther than just looking at a slideshow and having open discussion in a meeting room. So that's key.
Definitely, as I've said already, a lot of things to consider. I'd like to talk now a little bit about some information for those farmers that are already using cover crops. Some discussion was had about rotating, changing it up, not doing the same thing every year. Any information about that you'd like to share, or some of the different varieties of the cover crops to consider for this area?
Well, I think, again, that's a matter of figuring out the right plan and the right system, not just for the farm, but on a field-by-field basis in a lot of cases. And I think that as we look at where a farmer might start a cover crop program on a farm, I would recommend that they would go and look at implementing some type of cover crop program on some of the more challenging acres they have, as opposed to the better crop ground. What we've seen is that the benefits and the long-term results of cover crops tend to be realized more in those challenging areas than some of the better production ground. There's a lot of opportunities to look at different cover crop species. I think that the different species, the things such as cereal rye, annual ryegrass, radishes, some of the hairy vetch, for example, clovers, all of those things, and there's many more cover crops that can be used, but the particular environment of the year, the moisture, when rain is predicted, when the corn or soybean crop is to be harvested is key too, because there's some of these crops, if we're looking at drilling after the harvest, a crop that's going to winter kill, such as the radishes or something like that, there's no need to plant that in the middle of October when they're not going to be able to establish and do us any good. But the window of planting time for cover crops is fairly wide if we look at some of the grasses with annual ryegrass or cereal rye, which is a popular one because it can be planted late into the fall and still produce fairly good results.
We had a lot of conversation about sometimes with cover crops, you're crunched for time, again, going into having that plan and relating it back to what's best for you. But one of the, you know, you mentioned there's several benefits, some directly related to you're preventing soil erosion, you're eliminating compaction, but some really big advantages can be had in the yield of crops that following year.
Yes, there's definitely some yield advantages that can be realized. That's going to vary, again, upon a field-by-field consideration and what crop we're talking about. I think that in the case of soybeans planted after a cereal rye cover crop, there's a lot of information available there and experience that would tell us that there's an advantage to that more years than not. There are some challenges, like any type of a new system that's adopted. It's just not as easy as opening a bag of seed and going to the field to plant. In order to make sure that we have a chance to achieve the benefits of cover crop that where yield is concerned, we need to make sure that we have flexibility in our management practices, because sometimes, as in this last spring when we had an early warm-up in the spring, cover crops that were planted in the fall before were advanced much more for the given calendar date once we got into April and the first part of May than they would have been in years past. So identifying those types of things and managing the termination date of when we would control the cover crop before or at planting of our corn or soybean crop is key. So keeping an open mind on those things and it takes a lot of flexibility to achieve these benefits, but they're out there, and it just takes time, and commitment is a big thing.
It all comes back to what you said in the beginning of this interview, is having a plan specific for your operation, I think. John, anything that I failed to ask or points that you would like to make before we wrap up?
Well, I think as a general resource that folks could utilize to get more information on cover crops is to look at the website for the Midwest Cover Crop Council. on that website, there's a cover crop selection tool to where you can select the county that your farm is located in. You can also put in some information about the various soil types or soil characteristics that you're dealing with in a certain field. Also indicate what type of goals that you might be looking to achieve to better your production systems in that, and it will give some pretty good recommendations as far as the potential cover crop species that may be of consideration in your area, the planting window of when they would be most effectively seeded, and also seeding rates. So the Midwest Cover Crop Council website would be something that I think would be a good visit for anybody that's interested in more information on cover crops.
Once again, that was John Pike, who's a cover crop specialist from Marion, Illinois. And that's all we have time for today on your WSMI Farm Show. I'm Katie Wilson.